So I did my research project on the effects of different photoperiods with constant daily light integral on growth and photosynthesis of mizuna, lettuce, and basil. So as we all know, photosynthesis is one of the most crucial biochemical reactions on the planet, and it's the way that light energy drives carbon fixation and biomass accumulation in plants. And just like my lab mate Jeff was mentioning, that there may be a close relationship between photosynthetic efficiency and crop yield. So we also all here know about photoperiod, PPFD, and daily light integral, but what I would like to emphasize, and what my talk and several of my lab mates' talks have all kind of been about, is this really close relationship between these three terms. Photoperiod, photosynthetic photon flux density, and daily light integral are all very closely related, and you can calculate one from the other and vice versa. So a lot of the studies that have been done previously on photoperiodic effects, they often use a constant PPFD across their treatments, and this necessarily causes a different DLI per treatment. So that raises the question of, in these kinds of studies, are the observed effects due to differences in the photoperiod or differences in the DLI that the plants are receiving in their treatments? There's often, when recommendations are made to growers for optimal light treatments for their plants, it's often focused on DLI without consideration given as to how that DLI is provided. But we know, again, from our previous studies, that photosynthetic efficiency is highest at lower PPFD. And this is because the reaction centers of photosystem 2 have a finite capacity to handle the photons that they're receiving. So this leads us to the objective of my study. I wanted to quantify the effects of different photoperiods while providing the same DLI on growth and photosynthesis of three leafy green crops. And the reason for doing this is we wanted to increase the efficiency of converting light energy into edible biomass and hopefully reduce the cost of lighting in controlled environment agriculture. So the hypothesis for my study is that longer photoperiods with a lower PPFD will result in better growth than shorter photoperiods with higher PPFD. And my lab mates, Claudia and Jeff, worked on similar topics. So Claudia grew her plants in a chamber initially and then moved them into the experimental chamber to apply the treatments. So the plants were being moved from their growing conditions and the treatments were being applied as a temporary treatment. In Jeff's example, he was working with supplemental light in a greenhouse. So what I'm looking at is I grew my plants from seed to harvest entirely within a growth chamber. So they were subjected to the same treatment conditions for their entire life cycle. So our growth chamber parameters for this were approximately 20 degrees Celsius for temperature, supplemental CO2 at 800 parts per million, and lighting was provided by white LEDs. The harvest times for my three different crops varied depending on how quickly they grew. The mizuna grew quite quickly. It was harvested at 30 days. Little gem lettuce, we harvested at 41. And Genovese basil, we harvested at 55 days. We spread our DLI out over six different photoperiods, ranging from 10 to 20 hours, and the PPFD was adjusted in each treatment in order to ensure that the DLI was the same across all the treatments. So this diagram is showing kind of how we did that. So like I said, our photoperiod ranged from 10 to 20 hours, and we adjusted the light intensity for each treatment. And when you combine these things, you end up with a constant DLI of 16 across all of our treatments. And it's interesting to note that there is a very direct and predictable correlation between your light intensity and your photoperiod and the DLI that you end up with. Note that the 10-hour photoperiod the light intensity for the 10-hour photo period is exactly twice as much as the light intensity for the 20-hour photo period. So this slide shows an example of a walk-in chamber, one of the racks from our walk-in chamber. There were three racks in total. Each rack represented one replicate. Each rack contained six segments, and each segment was a treatment. So the lights were independently controlled for each treatment. All three crops were grown together in each treatment. Each individual tray for the crop contained 15 plants. And my six treatments were randomly positioned on each rack for each replicate. And we did set up some physical barriers to block the light. What's not shown in the photo is that we also have a light-blocking curtain that we pulled out between the racks. We did a couple different types of data collection, both pre-harvest and post-harvest. So for pre-harvest, we measured light interception, and in the photo you can see an example of how that measurement is taken. We have a light sensor bar that is slid underneath the canopy of the plants at the soil level, and it picks up the light that reaches the soil level. So as plants grow, they're intercepting more of that light, and they're blocking more of the light to the light meter. We also measured the chlorophyll content index with a SPAD meter, and we measured the quantum yield of PS2 using chlorophyll fluorescence as a general measure of photosynthetic efficiency. Post-harvest, we measured the leaf area and the above-ground dry mass for our crops. And we used linear regression for the data analysis. So for our results, I'm going to talk about chlorophyll content index first. So depending on how long the plants grew, we were able to get multiple chlorophyll content readings throughout the life cycle of the plant. So at 23 days after planting, there was a significant increase in chlorophyll content index across with longer photo period for Mizuna. And when we took the measurement again from Mizuna at 27 days after planting, the results were not significant. So this is indicating that the results seem to be happening more earlier on when the plants are younger, possibly due to when you look at a growth curve for the plant, earlier on they're experiencing that exponential growth. So there may be some sort of developmental thing happening with this. So next is lettuce. So again, 23 days after planting, significant increase in chlorophyll content. Also a significant increase at 27 days, and we were able to get a third measurement as well for lettuce at 41 days, just before harvest. And in that instance, that significance was lost. So a similar trend in both lettuce and Mizuna, that earlier on when the plants are younger, there is measurable differences in the chlorophyll content, which seem to decrease or disappear as the plants get older. Interesting to note for the lettuce is that, similar to what Jeff Weaver noticed in his study, there was visible differences in the morphology for the lettuce. The image on the slide is a comparison of plants grown under the shortest photo period with the highest light intensity compared to the longest photo period with the lowest light intensity. Plants grown under the short photo periods had lighter green leaves, and earlier on, when they were younger, as you can see on the top image, the leaf angle appeared to be much more steeper. And the plants grown in the longer photo period had darker green leaves. The leaves were not held as upright when they were younger. And even though I didn't take any measurements for compactness, just as far as subjective visual appearance goes, the longer photo period plants did have kind of a more compact form. Now, due to noticing this, I did take one measurement for looking at the leaf angle for the lettuce. So the results for that were not significant, although you do see that there is still a trend towards a steeper leaf angle. The graph is showing the leaf height to weight ratio for the lettuce. So that ratio decreases under longer photo periods, indicating that the leaves are not as steep. And this is the chlorophyll content for basil. So the basil in this experiment didn't grow very well, and so we were only able to get one measurement for the chlorophyll content just before harvest at 55 days after planting for the basil. But the one measurement that we did do was significant. So similar to the mizuna and the lettuce, the basil also showed a significant increase in chlorophyll content with a longer photoperiod. So light interception, there was a significant increase in light interception for both mizuna and lettuce, although not for basil. As I mentioned before, basil did not handle the environmental conditions very well in the chamber since they were all grown together. I think it may have been a little too cool and a little too wet for the basil. Quantum yield, though, we did get a significant increase in quantum yield of PS2 for mizuna, lettuce, and basil, so all three of our crops. It was consistent with our hypothesis. And however, we did not get significant results for leaf area for any of my three crops. Joanne asks, unlike Jeff's results, for my project, we did not get significant differences in dry mass, although there was a general trend towards greater dry mass with mizuna, but it wasn't significant. We did, however, have time to rerun this experiment using mizuna and lettuce. Didn't do the basil again, but when I ran this experiment a second time, the results for the mizuna were again similar, showing a general trend, but not quite significant. However, for lettuce, we did get significant results when we reran this experiment. And I also, on a hunch, for the second phase of this experiment, I also looked at the tuber dry mass from mizuna. So mizuna is a mustard. It actually belongs in the same species as turnip, so it does produce tubers under the right conditions. And there was a significant increase in tuber dry mass for the mizuna in the phase two experiment when you're looking at longer photoperiod. There were a couple of challenges in this experiment when I ran it. The mizuna grew so well in the chamber that it started to overshadow and overtake my other crops, which I guess is maybe that's a good problem to have. As I mentioned before, may have been non-optimal conditions for basil. It took a long time to germinate. As you can see in the bottom image, there was some damping off of some of the seedlings. It took a long time to germinate, a long time to kind of get going, and that's why it took 55 days for us to harvest it. Basically when it got tall enough to start hitting the lights. And our lettuce, again, similar to Jeff's project, there was tip burn as well across all the treatments for my lettuce. So in conclusion, when a DLI spread out across longer photoperiods, it resulted in higher quantum yield of PS2 in all three species, increased chlorophyll content index in all three species, at least early on in their development, increased light interception in mizuna and lettuce, and a trend towards greater dry mass in mizuna and lettuce that was not significant the first time that I ran this experiment. But in the repeat study, still not significant for mizuna, but did get significant dry mass increase in lettuce. So the take-home message for all of this is that photoperiod, PPFD, and DLI can't really be studied as individual factors without taking into account the simultaneous effects that they have on each other and the effects that this has on plant response. So thank you very much.
We have time for one question.
Yep, we have 1 minute for questions.
We have 1 minute.
Yeah. That's a great question. I know when I've talked about this research with other people, oftentimes they ask a question, have you looked at a 24-hour photoperiod, like continuous lighting? And I haven't looked at that yet for this, although I do know that sometimes in other studies that have looked at continuous lighting, sometimes you get strange results because the absence of a dark period can sometimes do strange things to plants. So it is something that I'd be interested in maybe looking at for these specific crops to see if this is going to hold up for a 24-hour continuous continuous photo period. But yes.
Do you see any differences in plant growth, dry mass accumulation, on younger stage buds between the different photo periods?
So the question was, did we notice differences in dry mass at a younger stage? That's a good question. For this experiment, we only harvested at the end. So in order to find out that answer, we would probably do an experiment where we harvested at different times for the same crop. So harvest the crop earlier, middle, and later, and compare those results. That's a good question. But that's not something that we really looked at for this experiment.